Take your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. I mentioned that we had the budget worksheet on the information desk. A few weeks ago, we gave out a paper describing and going through instructions on the snowball debt reduction plan, which I think is the best way to reduce your debt load. You put down all of your expenses, and then you put in what funds you have available to add to debt. You take the lowest debt first and pay that off quickly. Then the payment that you normally place on that debt, you add to your accelerator, which is the funds you can put on debt, and you add those two together and you go to the second debt. And once you pay that off, you put those three together and go to the next debt. Then you put those four amounts together and go to the next debt. Now, if you can do that, you're going to find that most people can be out of debt within 2 years, even if you have a large amount of debt. Also, if you'll continue to do that, and then the last one is on your mortgage, that many people can pay off their mortgage in anywhere from 7 to 9 years. We have young couples, at least one young couple I know here at Grandview, and that's their goal. And they've been working at that for several years now. And they religiously put a large sum on their mortgage every single month, and that's going to eliminate their debt load. Well, if you're not paying a mortgage, you have funds available to do a lot of other things in life. And as we mentioned, debt gets us in bondage because what we'd like to do for the cause of Christ, we can't do because that money that we'd like to give to missionaries, like to give to a building program, like to give to someone going to youth camp, it's already been claimed by the debtor in the form of payments owed. And so if we can reduce that or get rid of that altogether, then that frees up an amount that we can use however the Lord would lead us. We can have a retirement program. We can have savings programs. We can also be a blessing in many other ways. Now tonight, we're looking at maximizing our potential. Now there's two ways to get rid of debt. Two ways, basically. Or two ways, I should say, to get ahead. One is you have to reduce your expenses. You have to do that. So if you get serious about getting out of debt, you got to look at very seriously and say, okay, we're going to reduce our expenses. What's that mean? Well, that means cable TV has to go. Yeah, it has to go. Cell phone plan that costs so much. I'm not saying minimum plans, but you don't need all the bells and whistles. Maybe you'll get one of those phones they advertise on TV that you just flip and has really big buttons, and that's, well, maybe not. But anyway, it all it does is call. It's not a computer in your hand that costs $1,000. But you'll find you probably don't need that. Internet. Well, some places cost a little bit to get internet. If you live in Beaver Creek, it costs a lot to get internet. And it's still slow. So you're going to have to figure out all those things. So you cut your expenses and you figure out what you can do without. So that's one way, reduce your expenses. The other way is to increase your income. Increase your income. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I work in a factory and this is just what they make and that's all I'm going to get paid. I'm going to share tonight the fact that the Bible gives us biblical principles to increase and maximize our earning capacity. For instance, do you know that many CEOs started sweeping the floors in the companies that they work in? Now, it was many years ago, but many of them work their way up to the top. Well, how'd they do that? Chances are, if you found out how they could do it, it might work for you too. You know, the key word in that is work. Work for you too. Work. I know, I hate to mention those bad words like work, but maximize your potential. So let's look at a few verses here for a scriptural foundation, and then we're going to get into several ways to maximize our financial potential. And so I hope every one of us will take it to heart at whatever level, in the earning capacity you are. Maybe you're a teenager and you're mowing yards, or you're getting odd jobs, or this summer's coming up, you know. You could have a lot of fun, or you could make some money as well and be able to invest that. Or maybe you're at the end of that cycle and you're already retired and you're on a set income. But no matter where you're at, chances are, if you apply scriptural principles, you can better yourself financially. Now, let me say this. Why would I want to do that? Because as a Christian, the more I can make, the more I can give. Everybody see that? The more I can make, that means the more I can give. Now, I'm not saying make a dollar, give a dollar. But I'm saying if you make a dollar, you at least are tithing off that dollar. Amen? We are Christians, right? We're going to tithe off that dollar. So that's at least 10% more of a dollar that you're giving. And it may be if you can earn extra money, you might be able to give 15% of it. Still keep 85%. So be a blessing to your family. Be a blessing to the cause of Christ. Missions around the world. Some college student that's struggling, you know of, send them some money from time to time. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 64. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Let's just have a word of prayer and then we'll get right into some verses. Father, speak to our hearts from your word. Help us to take this very practical message about maximizing our financial potential and help us to put it to heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Render unto them a recompense, O Lord. Now, a recompense is paying somebody for what they're worth. It is a payback. It is a reward based on effort, based on productivity. Recompense. According to the work of their hands. So, what the prayer is here is, Lord, bless them according to their productivity. And I'll paraphrase that. So he's praying. He said, Lord, bless them and reward them according to their productivity. Now, you might say, well, I work 40 hours a week. Well, that's good. That's good. But what's your productivity in those 40 hours? Have you ever worked with someone who works so slow? They got very few hours a weekend of work? Oh, say, I got my 40 hours in. Well, yeah, you got paid for 40 hours. But he didn't get 40, or she didn't get 40 hours of work in. So God is saying here, the prayer is, Lord, reward them according to their productivity. So it's not how many hours you work, it's how much you get done in those hours that you work. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he's writing. And he's telling the people there, he said, now we've commanded you this, that you're to work with your own hands. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody has to have a job that's, you know, you're handling things, and it's not talking about that. But it means you're being productive with your life. You're using the talents and the abilities that God has given you to be productive. And that's what God wants us to do. So if I paraphrase that, I could say that God wants Christians to be productive individuals. Can I get an amen on that? I think that's true, right? I think if you're a garbage collector, you want to make sure the garbage is taken up. There shouldn't be a pile of residue where the can was. You shouldn't get your garbage can all squeezed out of shape. You should do it right. There's principles as unto the Lord. So as a believer, our job is to be productive for the cause of Christ. And so I'm going to talk about several different things that you can do, and all of us can apply some, if not all, of these things, and it can help us. First up is get up and you will stay employed. Get up. You got to get up. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Let me just suggest, if you're raising children, one of the best things you can teach them is get up. Amen. Get up. Get up. You know, when you're 30, your boss will not take kindly having to call and wake you up to get you to the office or get you to the factory or whatever. He will not, in fact, do that. He may call to say, we no longer need your services, and leave it on your recorder because you haven't woke up yet. But one of the best things you can learn is to get up. Get up. Say, whoa, I love sleep. Oh, I do too. Don't you love a good night's sleep? Boy, when you get my age and you have a good night's sleep and you think about it and you didn't get up one time, it's like, whoa, that was amazing. That was great. But when you open your eyes, don't just stare at the ceiling for another hour. Just get up. Get out of bed. Get going. And so we have to get up and you'll stay employed. You must learn to get out of bed in the morning and get to work. The unsaved world should not see a Christian as a lazy person. Lazy, lazy, lazy. No, sir. No, sir. That brings shame to the cause of Jesus Christ. They might not like your Jesus, they might not like your church, they might not like your Christianity, but they ought to like your work ethic. They ought to look at it and say, well, you know, I disagree with him, but boy, he's a worker. Boy, she's a worker. And we need to do that. Now, it helps if you go to bed on time. Got to get in bed on time. There again, when you get my age, and you have one of those days where you get to go to bed by 10, it's like, praise the Lord, that's wonderful, praise the Lord. And every once in a while at 9:30, you think, whoo, this is good. I'm going to get 8.5 hours in today. That's going to be great. Now, if you're my age, you're smiling and say, yeah, boy, I like that, you know. When you're young, you want to stay up. When I was young, I wanted to stay up until the television had this big round circle test pattern. Your children don't know that, but there was a day where television went off at night and all you could do is just watch the test pattern. There were no other shows. And many years ago, when it had a black and white, go to bed on time. Tell yourself that you will get right out of bed the next morning. Right out of bed. I remember when I started Grandview Baptist Church, and I knew I had 1 month to work hard before our grand opening. So my goal was to knock on 1,000 doors every single week. And so I divided that up to 250 doors a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then on Friday, that's when I went to the newspaper, that's when I went to printers, that's when I did all the business things I had to do. And then on Saturday, I could still go back and knock on more doors if I missed any day that I didn't get 250. May I remind you, 34 years ago, they didn't build homes 8 feet apart. Man, long driveways. And I'd go down the driveway and across and then down a driveway. I never cut across people's yards. I never did that. I wanted to just do things right. And it was a lot of walking. And who would have thought that Oregon City was built on a hill? Man, when I prayed about it in Arkansas and looked at the city, I just saw a map. I thought, you know, Arkansas is all flat. So, but man, going up these hills and up the long driveways and everything. And so every night, here's what I do. I say, Lord, help me get up. Lord, I got to get up in the morning. Oh, man, after 2 or 3 days, knocking on 250 doors in one day, that's like walking 10 miles. Oh, my feet got sore. And but I had prayed, Lord, I got to do it. 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 And I'd get up. I got to do it. And I'd psych myself. Get out of bed. Get out of bed. Start whistling. Start singing. Jump up. Get it. So I encouraged myself in the Lord. Listen, if you got a problem with getting up, you better learn to talk to yourself. You better learn to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Bible says David encouraged himself. You got to learn to be a self-motivator. I've often said, you know what a self-motivator is? That's somebody that knows how to kick himself in the britches. Now, ladies, I'm sorry, in the skirt. I didn't mean that. But whatever, it's the self-motivator. You know, a motivator is someone who speaks to you and they tell you how low life you are unless you get out there and do it. And every once in a while you need a pep talk. But a self-motivated person knows how to give his own pep talk. And you got to learn to do that if you're going to be successful in life. You got to do that. Tell yourself you're going to get right out of bed. Don't hit the snooze button. Don't lay down one more minute. Don't hit the day, but hit the day running. Don't just coast. Get up. Get you some coffee in your, let that circulate. Get that caffeine in you. Let that put you on high. And I know you say, oh, I'm a tea drinker. Yeah, let the caffeine in that tea get to you and keep drinking that tea. But get up and get going. Get up and you'll stay employed. Secondly, show up and you'll stay employed. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 17, the last part says, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. So show up. Leave the house early. If you live in Portland, count on traffic. Amen? Count on traffic. Sometimes you look and say, oh, they're going to build another lane. No, they're going to build another bike path. Don't you think about that. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to make more room for cars. That's archaic. Who drives cars? Everybody. But who drives a bike? When's the last time you saw a bike on a bike path? Oh, let's see. About 4 months ago I saw one. But it only cost $13 million. No, that's good. Buy the guy a car. Forget the bike path. We'll just give everyone who has a bike a car and it will save money. We can do it for half the amount. Okay. So I've just shared my pet peeve. Okay. Leave the house early. Get there on time. Show up to work on time. Not a minute late. Not a minute late. Faithfulness at work will keep you employed. So just show up every day on time. Oh, that's so important. Don't show up at halfway through the meeting. Don't show up at the end of the meeting. Don't show up 1 minute after the meeting. Be there on time. Be there. Punch that clock in before you're supposed to be there. Give them the full 8 hours. Give them the full amount of time you're supposed to be there. So show up and you'll stay employed. And then hurry up and you will stay employed. Hurry up. They're not hiring you just to walk around. They're not hiring you just to show up. They want you to hurry up. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily with all your heart, heartily as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Many years ago, I graduated high school. You'll believe it. They had high school back then. And I graduated high school. I was 17 years of age. I was going to go to Bible college for 1 year and then transfer. That summer, the Lord called me to preach. And I went from 1 year to 4 years and graduated. I worked in a place, I've told you before, not a very good place as far as how the people were, and I hated it. Bad jokes, bad stories, immorality, bad language, country westerns, music all the time. And if you like country western, that's okay. It's about losing your dog and your pickup and your girlfriend. Someone said if you played it backwards, you get your dog and your pickup and your girlfriend back. But I don't know. But back masking. You have to be old to even figure that one out. And so I hated it. I worked, but I kept to myself. I didn't say boo to anybody. I didn't say hi. I didn't say anything. Because it grieved my spirit. I mean, I'm a Christian guy. I'm committed to serve the Lord. I'm just working with a bunch of heathen in my mind. You know how it is when you're 17? You know it all, right? So that's, yeah. I already judged them all as ungodly people. Then on a Wednesday night, my pastor preached a message on whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. And oh, the Holy Spirit used that sermon to speak to my heart because I was not working as unto the Lord. I was working with a bad spirit. Now, I was working hard, but I was working hard with a bad spirit. I wasn't putting my heart in it. Because I didn't even want to be there. But that night I went to the altar and I said, Lord, from now on, I'm going to work like I'm working for you. Now let me say to you teenagers here, it'd be a wonderful thing if you'd decide to work like you're working for Jesus. It'd change everything about what you do. Well, that next day I went and I started whistling. I started singing. And it wasn't long, about mid-morning, some of the ladies on the line, it was industrial uniform, and they're on this big iron that's 12 foot long or 15 foot long. And one of them said, I know that song. And I'm whistling Amazing Grace. I said, you do? Well, I didn't think any of them went to church. I didn't think any of them knew a religious song. And she said, yeah, that's Amazing Grace. I said, wonderful. I said, sing some of it. And she started singing, and then three or four other ladies joined in, and they sang Amazing Grace. I said, do you know this one? And I just whistled a little bit, and I'm not a great whistler, but I whistled a little bit what was the song I just had on my lips? I was singing Blessed Assurance, and I whistled Blessed Assurance. Yeah, of course I know Blessed. And they start singing Blessed Assurance. And every morning we'd come by, I'd come by those ladies, and we'd sing another hymn together. And then, that's a long story. But I got to lead three people to the Lord. One of the worst guys in the whole place was a backslidden Christian in his pickup truck, truck that he picked up linen with, not a pickup truck. But he bowed his head and rededicated his life while he sat in the driver's seat, and I stood beside him and talked to him. The lady secretary, who the boss was having an affair with, she got saved, broke off the relationship, changed everything in her life. I'm just saying, if you'll do it as unto the Lord, God will use you. Now, and if God can use a 17-year-old boy who has no influence in a factory, God can use you too. God can use you too. So show up, you'll stay employed. Hurry up, and you'll stay employed. Decide you'll be the hardest worker at work. Decide to be quick, efficient, and a producer. Now, a producer is someone who makes money for the company. If you work for what you get paid, you have not made the company a profit. Because whatever you produce, that's what you get paid. And you hear this a lot of times, sometimes even from Christians. Well, I'm worth what I get paid. Well, that's good. But you didn't make the company a profit. If you are worth what you got paid, then you just broke even. But see, they don't hire an employee to do what they get paid. They hire an employee to do more than they get paid. Because if you'll do more than you get paid, now the company makes a profit. Now the company can expand. Now the company can grow. So the key is never to work what you're worth. It's always to work more than you get paid so that you're a blessing to whoever your employer is. Hurry up. There ought to be some hustle in every Christian worker. Gauge yourself on your own productivity. Don't gauge yourself by somebody else. We'll always pick the laziest person to compare ourselves with. That's never wise. But compare yourself to what you did last week, what you did last month, what you did last year. Number four, shut up and you will stay employed. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. That means poverty. So they didn't hire you to be a great talker, but a great worker. A great worker. Everybody's seen workers that they're always standing around talking, 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 talking. It's not break time. If you want to talk at break time, talk on break time. But don't talk at work time. That's not the time to socialize. That's the time to get things done. So the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty. The boss shouldn't have to tell you to get to work and stop talking. Don't talk negatively about your work, your boss, or your income. Christians, don't talk negatively about your work, your boss, or your income. Go get another job. But never talk evil of the one that's paying your salary. Man, that's crazy. Yeah, I don't like working in that factory. Well, they're not forcing you. It's not slave labor. Go get another job. Well, I didn't like that job either. Well, go get another one. Well, I didn't like that job either. Then chances are it's not the job. It's you. It's the old story of a guy who was asleep. He had a mustache and he was sleeping on his couch. And his kids thought they'd do something funny. So they went in the refrigerator and they got some Limburger cheese. And they got that and rubbed that in his mustache. And he woke up and he goes, he said, man, it stinks in here. He left the living room, went into the bedroom. He goes, man, it stinks in here. He went in the kitchen. Good night, it stinks in here. He went out in the front yard. He said, the whole world stinks. Well, if the whole world stinks, it might be you. It might not be the world. And if you go from job to job, I hate that job, hate that job, hate that job, it could be your attitude. So let me just say, let's not do that. Let's shut up and we'll stay employed. Let's keep our mouth shut. Let's not speak negatively of our work, our boss, our income. You agreed with that. And if you think they're shorting you, then go get another job. When scolded or corrected, take it gracefully and thank your boss for the correction. To talk a lot gives the impression that you do not work a lot. To talk a lot gives the impression you do not work a lot. So if you want to get advanced, don't be a great talker, but be a great worker. Shut up and you'll stay employed. Fifthly, grow up and you'll stay employed. Grow up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Or at least you ought to, amen? You ought to. Growing up means quitting the practical jokes and pranks at work. Listen, if you're over 20, just leave those practical jokes at home. It's not for the workplace. You know, everyone thinks that's cute, but here's what happened. It always gets out of hand. It always starts as something innocent, but it gets out of hand. Somebody wants to top that, and then somebody wants to top, and then someone gets hurt. Just leave it alone. Don't be pouting, don't be depressed, because the work is childish. Be a man or a woman, not a child. Tackle the hardest jobs. Many of us in another generation were taught, always do the hardest job first. The hardest job first, then everything else is downhill. How many were taught that? Okay, yeah. Always do the hardest job first, and then everything else is all downhill. So that's what we need to do. Children, by their very nature, will always seek the easy way to do it. That's why our parents tried to teach us tackle the hardest job first. Remember, doing the hardest work will better showcase your abilities, because anyone can do the easy work. So the harder the work, the more it showcases your abilities. Grow up and you will stay employed. Push up and you will stay employed. Push up. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now you remember the story. Joshua's down the valley. He's fighting. And the Bible says, as long as Moses held up the rod, Joshua and the Israelites would win. But when his hands got heavy and he would lower it, because his hands got so tired, then they'd start losing. So Aaron and Hur had Moses set on a rock, and Moses put his hands up, and Aaron got on one side and held his hand, and then Hur got on the other side and held up, and Aaron and Hur held up the hands of the man of God. And the battle was won by Joshua. Wow, what amazing story. But there's a principle there. There's a principle there. If you want the company to succeed, you want the man at the top to succeed. Because what will happen is he'll pull everybody up. Everybody up. Now, there's this philosophy in America that will destroy our nation. And that is, let's get the wealthy man at the top, and let's tax him so he's one of us. Let's take all of his wealth so he's just like us. Well, if he's going to be just like us, why run a company? Why work 15 hours a day if you're going to get paid what the worker gets? You see, there's no incentive. And so what happens is, when this guy stops being incentivized to make money, he's going to quit making money. We see that already sometimes, because every once in a while you'll hear someone say, well, I would take the overtime, but it just goes to taxes. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, I would work the overtime, but it's just all going to go to taxes. See, what's happened then is it takes away the incentive to better yourself. Well, you can work overtime. Man, I'd like to do that. But you look at your check, all I did is pay more taxes. That's not. It's got to be an incentive to be more productive. And that's how God has blessed our country, and that's how God blesses our economy. We need to take that to heart. So the idea is, you push up leadership. You don't pull down leadership. You'll never get ahead by pulling your boss down. You'll never get ahead by pulling your supervisor down, your foreman down, your CEO down. You'll never get ahead that way. In fact, you can pull the CEO down and the whole company fall apart. Now you're unemployed, and so is 100 other people. How'd that help? You want to keep him healthy so everybody stays employed. Give your supervisors credit and they'll bring you up as they go up the ladder of success. Make your leaders look good because of the production you are doing. Push up your fellow workers. Teach them how you are doing so well and help them to be productive. You start helping other people be productive, they might make you foreman. They might make you in charge of the lead or the lead worker of that hour. You just try to help the company succeed. You say, well, my boss never sees that. Let me tell you this, your main boss does. Your main boss sees everything. You know, as a Christian, I've heard many people say this, Pastor, I work in a place, no matter how hard you work, I have a boss that he doesn't like Christians, and I'm just not going to succeed under that setting. I don't believe that's possible. Because I believe you and I go right to the top when it comes to bosses. And we go right to the creator of the universe. And we go right to the person who owns the heavens and the earth. And we go right to Him. And if God has to move an earthly boss for you to succeed, He doesn't mind doing that. If He needs to put you in another company where your efforts will be rewarded, He doesn't mind doing that. But God will take care of His children. God will take care of His children. And if you're willing to work hard, God's willing to prosper you. Because He's looking for Christians that He can make an example of what He wants in the life of a believer. That's why He rewards a Christian, to make you a visible example of what He wants to do for every Christian. So remember that. Push up your fellow workers. Compliment your leaders and fellow workers. Help the company to succeed. This is your only job security, is if everything succeeds. And then, last of all, number 7, move up is what you'll do. Move up. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. God will move you up, move you up, move you up, move you up. Now, I know that. I've experienced that to some degree in my life. But I've pastored people who've done that, and I've seen how God moved them up, moved them up, moved them up, moved them up, moved them up. I've seen young couples become very, very successful. I've seen young business leaders become very, very successful. I've seen people of all walks of life be blessed of God in their work. Now, we're not talking about multimillionaires, although I know people who've done that. But I'm just saying being blessed of the Lord. It's not an amount of money that determines whether or not God blesses you. It's just that God's blessings on your life, on your family, on your children, on your marriage, that's what you want. And if you'll do things God's way, you will move up. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. When you are busy pushing up and lifting up your employer, the company's moving up. You're going to move up with the company if you will follow these simple principles. America is dying for people of character. Character. Who are hardworking, honest workers. Ask yourself this question. If your boss were to move up to the top, would he take you with him? If your boss would move up to the top, would he want you working with him? Well, he ought to. We ought to be such Christians, have such a testimony, have such a work ethic, that they want to take us with him. Now, why do we want to be successful as a believer? Not so you have your third car. Not so you have a big boat in the driveway. Not so you have... And by the way, God's not against any of that. But the purpose is never things. The purpose is there's missionaries that still need to be funded. There's churches on the mission field that need to be built. There's new churches that need to be started in America. How many think Oregon needs a lot of good churches? And yes, sirree, we do, don't we? We've got to try to turn the tide somehow, and it's going to happen when people get saved. We need a lot of good soul-winning churches in this state. But you know what? Some young couple has to be funded to full-time give themselves to start a church. So why do you want to succeed? To be able to invest in God's kingdom and see it grow on this earth. Because one of these days is too late to labor. The night cometh, Jesus said, when no man can labor. So let's give it everything we can. To earn a little bit, do a little bit, strive a little bit, invest a little bit, do everything we can to have a little bit more, to be a blessing to a whole lot more. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray you'll take this simple, practical message And I pray that it be a benefit to some lives, dear Lord. Some young people, some men and some women who are already employed, dear Father. Help them to see that if they put forth the effort, You will bless it. You will recompense them, dear Father, and reward them accordingly to the labor of their hands. So, Heavenly Father, help us all to be productive. And no matter what stage of life we're in, help us to do all that we can for the cause of Jesus Christ, for our families and loved ones. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.